Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
And so now, man, I want to talk to you for just a moment. We've got a problem in our culture. We have a problem with integrity and the lack thereof. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I was standing around with some staff members. We were getting ready to come down for Wednesday night meetings and meals and all of that. And it was a group of guys and gals all huddled around together. And I said, "Women, let me ask you a question. Do you think that all guys in our culture right now are creepers?" Because several sex scandals had broken just that day. And I said, do all guys in our culture just seem creepy to you?" And instantly, one of the females on staff said, "No, absolutely not. I know there's good guys and bad guys out there." One female staff member was strangely silent, and I said, "What do you think?" She said, "Well, it's kind of hard when you see so many people who lack integrity. It's kind of hard to believe there are still good guys out there." Gentlemen, we have a critical moment in our life and in our history right now that we need to become, and I'm not crazy about one of these words, but I ask you follow along with me. We need to become obsessed with integrity. Integrity needs to be an obsession in our lives. And listen, we have the opportunity to teach our sons something here. Here's what I've been telling my boys. I've been telling my boys this. Say, there's only one person in the world that you should touch or talk to like you would your wife, and that is your wife. There's only one person in the world you should touch or talk to as you would your wife, and that's your wife. And then what Paul says to Timothy is, older women, you should treat them as mothers, and younger women, you should treat them as sisters. Men, we need to become people of absolute integrity. In fact, we should even be obsessed with integrity. So we're doing this teaching series on the angels of Advent. We're not looking at the angels themselves, but we're looking at the messengers and the message that they give to the people around the Advent account. And so far, if you paid attention, we've looked in the Gospel of Luke at Mary's side of the family. An angel appeared to Mary. An angel appeared to her cousin-in-law. Elizabeth was her cousin, and the husband was Zechariah. So Luke contains Mary's side of the story. That's the "she says." Now today we're going to look into the "he says" part of the Advent account. What happened to Joseph's side of the family? And if you remember last week, I spoke about Mary as the Mona Lisa of the Bible, that one priceless female image. And so I'm going to compare Joseph to baseball cards today. I have some of my best baseball cards right here. I've got my 58 Stan Musial. I've got my Hank Aaron. I've got my Yogi Berra. I'll open the bidding at $200. All right. These are some of my best baseball cards, but they all pale in comparison to a Honus Wagner baseball card. You see, between 1900 and 1915, there was a special kind of baseball card produced. They were hand-drawn, mass-produced, but the originals were hand-drawn and colorized. And the Mona Lisa of baseball cards is a T206 Honus Wagner with white borders. Only 50 are in existence. And the last time one sold in an auction, it sold for $2.35 million. It is the Mona Lisa of baseball cards. So listen, in the Bible, there's a lot of good cards out there. But the T205 Honus Wagner, that's Joseph, the father of Jesus, the adopted father of Jesus. Here was a man who was obsessed with integrity, and I think you will see it in the account around Advent. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant. Now, we know the last four words of this verse from the Holy Spirit, but Joseph didn't know that yet. As far as he was concerned, this sentence ends with, "Before they came together, she was pregnant." Now, what would you think? What would you think if you were engaged to a young lady, she turned up pregnant, and you knew that it wasn't you? And what makes this so much more tragic is engagement in the Jewish culture. The betrothal period was legally binding, but it was also a period of purification. It was a period of sanctification. It was a period of getting ready before God to be married to another human being. And if I could encourage you anything, for those of you who are engaged or will be engaged, don't just plan the wedding. Spend more time planning the marriage. It's a time of sanctification. It's a time of getting ready. And so this was supposed to be a time of getting ready and being holy. And in Joseph's mind, Mary violated that in the worst way possible. She turned up pregnant. Now, he didn't know the source yet because she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man. That's a great word to describe Joseph. I've chosen the phrase to be obsessed with integrity. This is a better word. He was a righteous man. Did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to divorce her secretly. Now, if you don't hear anything else this morning, would you please hear this next part? Joseph's decision, what hung in the balance, was a big deal. This is one of the most important decisions that was ever made in the history of the Bible or in the history of the world. Okay. So now I want you to get this. Listen to me carefully. The quintessential king of the Jewish people was David. The Old Testament David. Any deliverer, any king, any Messiah, any savior must be a descendant of David. Joseph was. Joseph was a biological descendant of David. He was a son of David. But if Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit without his involvement, how could Jesus ever be a son of David? By adoption. Now, adoption, as it is held up in high regard in our culture today, and it should be, was even held in higher regard in that day. Listen, the Caesar that was on the throne at the time, Augustus Caesar, he was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. I mean, we've got a great illustration right there in the Roman world. It didn't matter there wasn't a blood relationship. He was the adopted son, the legal heir. So listen to me very carefully. Jesus's claim to Davidic dynasty was dependent on Joseph's decision to acknowledge Jesus as his heir and to adopt Jesus as his son. Everything hung in the balance on what Joseph did next. Jesus's claim to that Davidic dynasty was dependent on Joseph's decision to accept Jesus as his heir and to adopt him as his son. And he would be the son of David. So interesting, isn't it? That here Mary, conceiving through the Holy Spirit, her conception meant that Jesus was the Son of God. Joseph's adoption meant that Jesus would be the King of humanity. So, what did Joseph do here in this situation? So, just from these verses here, I want you to notice that Joseph didn't underreact. He didn't underreact to what he thought was sin. Here his bride-to-be had committed adultery, so he didn't underreact and go, well, you know, everyone makes mistakes. We'll just cover this up, pretend it never happened, and we'll just go on with life as normal. He didn't underreact. His righteousness, his integrity would not allow him to. Let me encourage us as a community of Christians not to underreact to sin. And we live in a cultural time where we don't want to call anybody's actions wrong, and I get that. We don't want anybody to feel bad. But if we're open and affirming about everything, then we lose the right to call people to repentance. And repentance is the gateway of God's forgiveness. Sometimes we have to call people to a higher standard and say, you need to change. It's not enough that we just kind of wink and nod at sin. So Joseph didn't underreact, nor did he overreact. And I don't think that we have a full grasp on what Mary was guilty of here. If she was pregnant out of wedlock, there was four punishments for a woman who was pregnant before she got married. And the person she was engaged to wasn't her husband. She could be beheaded, she could be stoned, she could be burned alive, or she could be strangled. None of those four sound very much fun, do they? That's how bad this was. And Joseph, in his anger, listen, the most viral emotion is anger. The most viral story is scandal. Joseph could have taken it to the nth degree and had her done away with. It was within his legal right. But he didn't underreact, nor did he overreact. Joseph responded as a person who understood that people make mistakes and that it was wrong. and that he himself had made mistakes. He responded with a bit of grace. He wanted to handle this quietly. So there's a piece of art I wish I could show you this morning. I decided not to because it's a little bit over the line. 400 years ago, there was an artist named Caravaggio. And he painted a picture of David, the victorious David, holding the severed head of Goliath in one hand and the hilt of his sword in the other hand on his shoulder. It's very Walking Dead-esque. I mean, there's stuff coming out down here. I probably should just go ahead and show you now. All right. But Caravaggio, when he did that painting, you know what he did? He used David as a self-portrait. He put himself as a younger man in the person of David. Okay. But he painted this painting right before he died. And so he also made Goliath's head a self-portrait of him as an older man. What he was acknowledging is, sometimes I've been the victor, sometimes I've been the villain. Sometimes I've been the hero, oftentimes I've been the zero. It's a mark of maturity. It's a mark of integrity that we recognize even the good and bad in ourselves. So you see, Joseph didn't overreact. He didn't underreact. He wasn't self-righteous. He wasn't pseudo-righteous. He was just righteous. He said, how are we going to handle this? But then things changed. And after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, always love these three words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what was conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So while we're talking about being obsessed with integrity, I want you to get the irony here. Joseph had to risk his integrity to preserve his integrity. If he married Mary and word got out that she was prematurely pregnant, everyone would either think it was his mistake or somebody else, and he was covering up for Mary. He would endure ridicule. He would endure sideways looks. He would endure condemnation. But for him personally, listen, his integrity was not about public opinion. His integrity was about his relationship with God, and he was willing to risk the appearance of integrity to have integrity. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, the disapproval of others cannot harm you, and the approval of others will never satisfy you. It's all about what God thinks. And Joseph was willing to risk his integrity to preserve his integrity. Also, have you noticed this? In fact, you can read all the Advent accounts with Joseph as a character. You can read all four Gospels from beginning to end. And Joseph never says a word. Do you realize that there is never a recorded word from Joseph in the entire Bible? And to me, this highlights a reality we all know. Do you know that women use more words than men? Husbands, this is where you want to stay very still. Don't even look sideways. Don't nod. Don't do anything. Typically, women use three times more words than men. Now, it's part of the way our brains are wired. In the first service, they thought I was joking, but this is the science behind it. Your brain has gray matter and white matter. Guys focus more on gray matter. That's what we use more. It's the way our brains are designed. It's problem solving. It's direction finding. It's decision making. That's the gray matter. Women use more of the white matter. It's more verbally driven. It's more emotionally driven. Okay. Men use language to exchange information. Women use language to express emotion and relationship. Also, women, here's the benefit you have. Because you use your white matter more, you are better at multitasking than men. My wife can be on the phone, cooking dinner, cleaning up after the dog, and making arrangements with kids all at once. When I get on the phone, it needs to be absolutely quiet in the house. Quiet, I am on the phone. Why? Am I the only one that way? I get mad when there's other things because I can only focus on one thing at a time. You know what, man? I don't want you to take Joseph as a model not to talk to your wife. We need to communicate with the important ladies in our life. But listen, there's a lot of people who talk integrity. Joseph was doing it. There's a time to talk and there's a time to act. And for Joseph, it was time, and his actions speak louder than any words possibly could. So I see two characteristics of Joseph's life that tell me about integrity, that they inform my definition of integrity. One is this, that Joseph was open to change. He was open to change. So he already had his plan, what he was going to do. He was going to divorce Mary quietly. He was going to make that happen. But God appeared to him through an angel in a dream, and he was willing to change. Men, we know this. Once we've made up our mind, it's hard to change. But integrity demands it. So let me ask you three questions. And I'm framing these questions in terms of a John Wesley quote, if you love God, you'll love Him with your head, your heart, and your hands. So let me ask you three questions. Are you willing for God to change your mind? Once you've made your mind up about something, if God steps in, are you willing to let God change your mind? Are you willing to let God change who you love? Listen, as followers of Jesus, sometimes we get judgmental. And sometimes we get opinionated about other people. And sometimes the way we look at people has more to do with our parents' prejudice than with what Jesus Christ teaches. Are you willing to let God change who you love? And are you willing to let God change your plans? Those things we hold so tightly in our hands. Even if it makes you look bad in front of everyone else, are you willing to change your plans if God says so? So Joseph was open to change, but he was also immediately obedient. As soon as this angel appeared to him, when Joseph woke up, he did it. Lord's angel had commanded him, he did it. He married Mary, but did not have sexual relationships with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. So I have a squirrely dog at home. Well, I'm selling the baseball cards. I'll sell the dog here today, too. Start the bidding at 25 cents. If you'll take him off my hands, he's yours. Max is a schnauzer, type A, high-strung. We have enough high-strung people around our house. That's why we need to get rid of him. No, we're not really. So Max only knows a few words. He knows the word food. He knows the word toy. He knows the word fight. That's his favorite word for me to say. I go in the backyard and I say, Max, fight, and he'll run up, he'll roll over, we'll wrestle on the ground a little bit together. He knows that word. For you as a follower of Jesus, there's some words from God that you need to know. And when you hear them, you respond immediately. I'm going to choose a handful of them. You need to know the word no. You got a plan, you made up your mind, you've made your decision, and God says no. You better recognize His voice. So here's how that plays out. In fact, I've used this several times over the years. I used it in deciding to come here as your pastor. God, here's the direction I'm going. As best I can discern, here's where I'm going. If you don't want me to go there, you have got to say no very clearly. Then you've got to be willing to listen for the no. We need to hear the word no. Sometimes we need to hear the word go. Joseph, Mary, make it happen. Go. We often tell our kids this. They don't like to hear this. But delayed obedience is disobedience. Sometimes, as Christians especially, we know what we're supposed to do. We just don't do it. But when you hear God say, go, now, that's what it means to be a person of integrity. There's one more phrase I want to throw in. And this is the phrase that I think helps us separate God's voice from our own imagination. The single phrase that's important in discerning what God wants versus what I want. And it's a phrase that the angel first said to Joseph at the beginning of their dream conversation. Don't be afraid. Listen, God's voice will not debate with you. God's voice will not try to convince you. God's voice will not try to argue. God's voice just is. And when you hear His voice, there's a sense in which you are free from fear because you know what He's asking is right. Can I call us all to be obsessed with integrity, to be willing to change, and to be willing to be obedient to God, whatever He asks. I don't know how that translates for your life today, but I know it applies to all of us here in this room. So I like you, if you've heard this story, you know what salmon do. Salmon are born in a particular stream, freshwater stream. They'll live in that stream for 2 or 3 years, and they'll go out in the ocean, spend several years in the ocean, travel thousands of miles. But when nature calls them to reproduce, when it's time to spawn, salmon will always find their way back to their home stream. Where they were born, that's where they spawn, and that's where they reproduce. This is one of those mysteries of nature. They don't know if it's the magnetic forces in the earth. They don't know if the fish is using the sun as the GPS. Here's the leading theory. The leading theory is that salmon among fish have the keenest sense of smell. They can smell one drop of water in 250 gallons of water. That's how sensitive they are. So it seems that salmon know the scent of their home stream. And whenever it's time to go home, they pass by a lot of other streams. No, that's not home, that's not home, that's not home. That's home. They sense it. They know it. You and I need to become sensitive to integrity. That we will be obedient to God no matter what. That we'll be willing to change. That we will be willing to be immediately obedient. Because for us, integrity is home. That's where we belong, because that's who God has called us to be. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. So God, it is good to be reminded that there are men of integrity still left in the world. We see it at the epicenter of the Christmas story. I also believe it is true in our world today that when so many people are being outed, and so many people seem to lack integrity, there are an equal number of men and women who quietly, privately, purposefully endeavor to have integrity. So help us to pull all the parts of our life, all of our different roles as fathers and mothers and homemakers and business people and buyers and sellers and everything that we do. Help us to bring it all around to integrate all of that into one identity. We are your followers. Help us to live lives of purity. Where we mess that up, help us to repent and start over. We also know that integrity is not something that we can engineer ourselves. It's something we can endeavor to. But the real source of integrity is your Holy Spirit alive and well in us as your followers. We love you. Help this church and this community, and our families, may we be filled with people of integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.